We got another Sunday here that we can learn more about His Word. We are still in the book of James. So please turn your Bibles over to the book of James. Is Nick there? Okay. Please turn your Bibles to the book of James. I'm going to be reading verse 7 to 11. But tonight we will be discussing verses 10 to 11 because last week we tackled the previous ones. I'm reading from the New International Version. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. We have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say another word of prayer, then we'll get to our message. Father, again, we thank you for your sovereign hand, for bringing all of us together in this building that you've provided for us. We thank you for all the blessings that we have experienced and have been receiving from you. We thank you for our loved ones, our friends, our careers, our businesses. We thank you for our life and our health. We thank you once again, Father God, because we know that you will speak to us this afternoon. So we ask for your Holy Spirit, the true teacher, to reveal to us the things that you want us to accept, the things that you want us to stop doing, and the things that you want us to start doing. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. Humble us, Lord God. May we receive your message. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week, the title was, I Want Patience Now. It's the same. I want patience now, part two. And I know I'm testing your faith because, or your patience, because I know you want me to be done with James. But no, we're parking again. We're parking on two more verses. And if you thought the previous teachings were hard, they were too personal, they were hard-hitting, you were pretty much bloodied like me, we have the bruises to show. Yeah, I have no good news for you. Tonight, we're going to be tackling what James mentioned there. We're going to be diving into Job. But a quick recap of last week. We learned very quickly about the difference of rapture and the second coming. James mentioned it, that if we know that God can come at any time, the second coming, right? And if we know that that is the truth, and it is, we should have the urgency. And we should develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is one of them, is the patience. Makrotomia is the word. And in one of them, there's two definitions of it. There is long-suffering, right? Patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, especially shown in bearing troubles and ills, which is what we're going to be discussing tonight. And then patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. We discuss patience towards difficult people. And tonight, we'll be discussing about patience in adversity or trouble. So the verse 10 and 11, the word perseverance, there's also another Greek word there that also means endurance. Perseverance is what the New International Version used. So the Greek word is hopomone, So the meaning are cheerful, endurance, constancy, enduring patience, patience, continuance, or steadfastness. So if you, because we have to deal with these words and see the original meaning so that we can appreciate what the scriptures truly are saying. So this was a third point last week, but since I already took an hour last week, I decided to just push it now. Patience in adversities. Patience in adversities. It's there. Verse 10 to 11. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, James points us now, his readers then, and then us now, to look at an example or proof of people who have served God and faced trouble, but yet despite the trouble and adversities that they faced, they showed the fruit of patience or perseverance or hopomone. So we have many examples in the Old Testament to show us patience or endurance, enduring patience in face of adversities. I'll name a few. First one is Elijah. Remember the prophet Elijah? He was persecuted by King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. You can see that in 1 Kings 19:1. Queen Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, "You killed all my prophets. May all the gods be mad at me if I don't kill you." A death threat from a powerful person at that time. Elijah was concerned. He left. He panicked and he got depressed. But God saw him through. And there is also the example of the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He wrote the book Lamentations. You know how sad Jeremiah was? He was depressed. Because why? Because he was faithfully serving God for 40 years. 40 years. To telling the same message, repent. He was telling the people, repent or face God's judgment. 40 years and not one converted. As perseverance in the midst of trial. And then here we go. Then he shows us. Then he tells us, look at Job. Who is Job? I know it reads Job, right? The first time that I was reading the Bible before, I thought it was Job. Because it is spelled Job, right? Who is Job? We'll just go Job. Who is Job? I'm pretty sure most of you, if not all of you, know the story. But for the sake of those who don't, we have to dive in it. So please, put your seatbelts on. Because this is quite the challenge. Job 1:1-5. In the land of Uz, or Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. A loving father, a God-fearing man, a loving father, and a very wealthy man. The livestock is the proof of money, right? But then, what happened? What happened? One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. That's proof that Satan is not in hell yet. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Pretty interesting. What a book that's about to happen. Many lessons from that point onwards was going to happen because of this conversation in heaven. The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Very well then. Everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Folks, we belong in this spiritual warfare between good and evil. Amen? That's true. And I don't want to alarm anybody. I don't want to alarm anybody here. But we are all in the presence. You want to pick that up? We are all in the presence of some spiritual beings. Don't look at your wife and say that's you or your husband. No. It's the ones that we can't see. I don't know how serious this needs to be for us, because we're in 2024. We want to think that everything is about electric cars and iPhones, FaceTime, no more distance, right? No, we belong in a very real, documented by the Bible that we adhere to, spiritual warfare. Good and evil. And there was an accusation there. The accusation was Satan accused Job that he only praises God because of the things he gets from him. Of course he's going to praise you. You blessed him. Of course he's going to worship you. He gets stuff from you. You're a heavenly sugar daddy. That's the accusation. If you weren't giving him anything, he will not praise you. This is serious, right? For those of you who know the story, right? In verses 13 to 15, he lost his children. In verse 16, he lost his money, his assets. In verse 17, he got robbed of all his livestock. In verse 18 to 19, this is where his other children were all taken from him. I had a message about Job many years ago. It was such a revealing and telling message that I was very concerned and frankly scared about it. That I thought I didn't do a series in Job. I finished Job in one Sunday because I didn't want to stay in Job. Because look what happened. This is a real account of someone that he says there, following God faithfully, and then trials, adversities in less than a day. This is serious. You lost your children on top of losing money. But wait, there's more, right? Remember when Steve Jobs used to present his new iPhones, he would have a late presentation of what he really wants to reveal. And he uses the word, but wait, there's more. And it's the same thing with Job. All of these things, but wait, Satan's not done yet. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. The enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. Satan cannot take our salvation away. He cannot stop us from being with God in heaven by the time we leave this temporary body. But boy, will he put in a great A plus effort to put anguish and pain and suffering in our lives. Oh, great, Joe. I knew I should have not come to church today, somebody's saying. But you know what? What did we say? What do we keep saying in this church? We can't make the Bible not say what it's saying, and we cannot make the Bible say what it's not saying. James brought us. James pointed us to Job. That's why we're studying Job. But who is in trial? Who was on trial in the book of Job? Everybody will think, dude, it's Job. Job is in trial. We'll see. In verses 9 to 11, in the previous verse, God says, have you considered my servant Job again? You told me that he will curse me, but he didn't. You've taken everything that he has, even his children, but yet he did not curse me. You're wrong. Have you considered him again? God, again, egging the enemy, putting his going all in again with Job. But then here, look at Job. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks, herds are spread out. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Satan's accusation to Job is you only praise God because of the benefits. Satan's accusation to God is you are not worthy to be praised if you don't bless and protect people. They really don't love you, but only love what they get from you. So who's on trial? God is on trial. Job was part of it, unfortunately for Job. But God definitely is in trial. Satan hates God so much that Satan hates everything that God loves. And who does God love? His people. But wait, there's more. Job chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is good, faithful man. He respects God and refuses to do evil. He is still faithful, even though you asked me to let you destroy without reason everything he has. Satan answered, skin for skin. A man will give everything he has to protect himself. I swear, if you attack his flesh and bones, he will curse you to your face. See the spiritual warfare here? Do you see the warfare that we are a part of? Satan's spirit is nothing less but what Jesus said in John 10:10. He is, the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. Real quick, Christians. Do you believe that you are involved in a spiritual warfare? Say amen if you do. So how much do you pray? How much do you value prayer? How much do you value your time of fellowship and asking God so that you can stand in front and stand strong in this warfare that we all belong to, are part of? Paul said it in Ephesians 6:10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. I know we're a Baptist church. We are. I know I'm viewed by even my peers who are pastors. They view me as a Mr. Conservative, you know. I went to a wedding and dancing, and there was dancing. No, it was an 18th birthday, and dancing was going to happen. And my friend who's also a pastor, but he's Pentecostal, he said, Pastor Joe, there's going to be dancing here. Are you going to be okay? Because I know you're a Baptist. And I said, well, yeah, we're allowed to dance as Baptists, you know, after one beer or two. That's a joke, okay? Usually, the Pentecostals are heavy on this. And usually, I say usually, because Baptists are usually, we put the undertone on this one. Because we don't like it. Because we're conservatives. But this is the Bible. This is what the Bible says. What does that mean to us? It means that we must be prepared, because did you see Satan ask for Job's permission? Hey, Job, be ready. I'm coming to attack you, okay? I'm coming on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Make sure you're all strapped and ready. No. And then when he hit Job with the death of his children and took his business, right? What did he do? Did he stop and say, oh, maybe he had enough already. I'll stop. Kawawa naman. Poor guy. No. The enemy attacks to steal our joy, to kill our happiness, and to destroy our unity. Everything that is good that God has given you, has given us, he wants to take it. Why does that happen, Pastor Joe? This makes me not want to be part of God's kingdom, the other guy is saying. And I'm going to say, are you serious? Because if you don't belong to God, do you think he's not going to attack you? If you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil. That's a Bible verse. Your father is the father of lies. You are serving the enemy. This is why there's so much pain in the world. This is why there's so much hurt in the world. Because they will believe Satan's lie, and then they will get hurt. Oh, you don't have to wait for marriage to have intimacy physically. It's 2024. Whatever purity your parents are saying, this is not your grandmother's culture and society anymore. This is a party-hardy lifestyle. It's now or never. Marriage is just a paper. You don't have to believe Jesus Christ only. There's many other gods there. You choose what works for you. And don't be offensive. Don't push Jesus on other people because you're being rude when you do that. Full armor of God, right? Helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, and the sandals that is quick to share the gospel. Always ready to fight. Sadly, Christians, the reason why we are getting defeated is because we act as if we are at peacetime with the enemy. We think we're in a truce. We would like to believe we're in a truce. Or we're in a truce. There's no fighting. So long as I don't become offensive. So that if I don't serve God, then God, the enemy will not attack me. No, the enemy already won. Because now you're useless. You're down and out. You just think you're sitting on the sidelines, probably, right? Probably. But then you're supposed to be in the game. Who wants to win the championship sitting on the bench? Not me. And look at this. Look at this. Ephesians 3:10. Then God would use the church, us Christians, to show the powers and authorities. Powers and authorities is biblical jargon for spirits. Angelic beings. Now, angelic beings are separated in two, right? And there's no debate in it in heaven. There's debate here in the political world on what a man and woman is. But in heaven, there's only two kinds of angels there. The angelic beings that belong to God and the demons that sided with Satan. It says here, then God would use the church, us, to show the powers and authorities in the spiritual world that he has many different kinds of wisdom. Job was used by God not just to teach us, church, about patience, as James is telling us to look into, but he also used Job to teach Satan and all the angels there that God is worthy to be praised despite the adversities that come in people's lives. The other thing that the angels love to look at and are mesmerized with is the grace of God that he has given us men. Because angels, they can only screw up once and they're done. No grace for them. This is why when they chose to decide to go with Lucifer, they all fell. They all were removed. But us Christians, right? The day that you accepted Christ, right? And you were crying and you were relieved of that big burden in your chest. And you said, praise God. The moment you went home, you got into an argument with your wife. And then you threw your wedding ring on the wall. You lost a couple of diamonds in it. But still, God loves you. The angels are learning on how God is treating us, on how God is teaching us, on how God is continuously blessing us. They're learning about God. Look at the limitation. Before you get really scared of Satan, and I know it's concerning, right? Look at the limitation of Satan in a believer's life. So the Lord said to Satan, all right, Job is in your hands, but you are not allowed to kill him. Satan is a powerful being, which should drive all of us down to our knees and ask for God's protection and prayer for us, for our children, for our loved ones, for each other. Amen? This is the value of prayer. It's the new year. January is almost over. Christian, I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you are not prayerful, that's one evidence that the enemy has won in your life about this lie. You don't need God. A person that's prayerful recognizes that apart from Christ, he can do nothing. Especially about spiritual matters. And we're seeing that the spiritual beings are after our practical matters. The money of Job are all practical. Had nothing to do with spiritual matters. Do we agree? Maybe, right? The relationships that he had with his children, those are all human relationships. Nothing to do with the spiritual world. But what did Satan do? Take it anyway. We have to see the need of this. But at the same time, you see God's sovereignty. If you belong to God, the enemy is limited on what he can do. And if you belong to God, everything that happens to you is by God's design. Amen? I don't know. I probably lost some of you guys when I spoke about Satan and attacks. But I really hope that I could have your attention in the last few minutes here. Because this is serious. This is a serious matter. If I look at this, I'm thinking if I were Job, I would have preferred that I would have died. After I found out my children died, I would have rather died at that point. But not only did his children die, then he's broke. He's bankrupt. Oh man, but wait, there's more. Look, so Satan left the meeting with the Lord and gave Job painful sores all over his body, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Job sat on the pile of ashes where he was mourning and used a piece of broken pottery to scrape his sores. There's a medical name for it, surprisingly. Hyperimmunoglobulin E syndrome, apparently. This is from MedlinePlus.gov. Is a rare genetic disease. It causes problems with the skin, sinuses, lungs, bones, and teeth. It causes hyperimmunoglobulin E syndrome. Is also called the Job syndrome. My goodness, wouldn't you like that to have a disease named after you? The Joe Salcido disease. My goodness, I don't know what that would be. People with this condition have long-term severe skin infections. So let's look at it again. I know it's heavy, but James said, look at Job so that we will develop the perseverance that God wants us to develop. We have to look at Job. Job lost his children that he loves dearly, that he prayed for every morning without a miss. That means he loved them so much, right? If you love your children as a parent, you should be praying for your children endlessly. Lost his money. Lost his wealth. He worked hard. For all of us who works for our money, we know it's not easy to make money. And then for you to lose it in one sitting, and now you lost your health. Now you lost your health. I know, I feel that way too. She got it. That's how I would feel. Horrible is not enough of a word to describe what Job has been going through. And the worst thing for men who are married here, this is the worst. You lost everything. You lost everything, right? And then God, in his goodness, left your very encouraging wife. Why are you laughing? Job was left the blessing of his wife. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your faith? Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, if you are married or if you have plans to get married, women, young, single women, single men here, we have to consider this, okay? your spouse, our spouse, is our better half. If they are already going through hard times, the last thing they need from you is you kick them in the face while they are down. This is why you look for a Christian person who loves God. Because when you are down and out, and it will happen, you need that wife that will say, "Sweetheart, let me pray for you." You don't need somebody who's going to tell you, "Curse God and die. And don't say anything because your breath stinks." Look, it says here, Job 19:17, "My wife hates the smell of my breath." Right? Goodness. Not only is he broke, not only did he lose his family, not only is he sick, now his wife hates him because he has bad breath. And then he says, "My brothers hate me." Now he is completely all alone. He has nobody. He's been abandoned by every single person that could actually really at least mend a little of the pain. But no, not even the wife could stand it anymore. She was just watching this, right? Just curse God and die, you bad breath boy. This is horrible. This is so tragic. This is a show in TFC that will last you 15 minutes of crying. What's the message? Patience in adversities. James told us to look at Job, to develop that gift of the Holy Spirit about patience. To endure. Enduring is standing our ground despite the storm that we are facing. What was James's purpose in reminding people of Job's life? It is one perfect example. I think we can all agree, right? That it is one perfect example of what enduring, persevering, patience mean in the midst of adversity. Having persevering patience in the midst of adversity is saying that God is still worthy of our praise. Amen? That God is still worthy of our obedience. God is still worthy of our love. Because if we love him, we will obey his commands. And then this is the hard part, that he's so worthy of us to trust him. Because you know what? When times get tough, we tend to go back to our old ways. Especially if the pain is just lasting way too long. If it doesn't seem like, it seems like the prayer is last, it's just not being answered because we're still sick, we're still broke, our relationship is still hurt, we're still going to get divorced, we're still going to lose our house, we're still going to lose whatever it is that you're going through. Having persevering patience in the midst of that, whatever you're going through, is saying, for you, God is still worthy of your praise, your obedience, your love, and your trust. Now back to Job. Should I just stop? Like, come on, let's just end it. Job 10:22. At this, after the wife said that, Job got up. No, this is the first part. This is the first part when he lost his children and his business. Job got up and tore his robe. and shaved his head. This is their tradition there to express mourning. As Christians, don't be afraid to mourn. You're allowed to mourn, okay? But we mourn differently than the world. We mourn with the hope that God is still very much in control. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Completely opposite of many people that have denied Christianity, that have denied the existence of God. The funny thing about atheist people is they will say there is no God, and then they will tell you the reason why. And usually it's this is the reason. Because if there is a God, why is there evil in the world? Why will he allow evil to exist? So basically they're saying that the only God that exists is doesn't know what he's doing. That's what the atheist people believe in. That's their reasoning. The only God they believe in is the one that screws up. Therefore, they will not believe in that God. Job, man, Job went through a lot. Don't you agree? Back to the married Job, his response to his wife, after the wife said, "Curse God and die. Don't hold your integrity anymore." What did he say? "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know, if you read the book of Job, you will see that as time progressed, especially when his friends came around, you know, when his friends came around, Job was somehow swimming in the deep end already. He's already contemplating things to a point that he would almost sound like he is almost there to blame God. But before that even happened, God revealed himself to Job and spoke to Job. Because God knows how far he can stretch us. We don't know. He does. See, the other message of the book of Job is if you have the wrong theology, if you have the wrong belief of who God is, you will fail in the midst of trial. Because the other message of Job, when his friends came around, is that they said, "Surely you have sinned, Job, because this will not happen to anyone who is God-fearing. So just confess your sins and just be done with this suffering." But Job said, "No, I did not sin against God." That's the religious belief. Sometimes right now, the world still believes that if you are a good person, you will get good karma. If you don't do anything bad, nothing bad will happen to you. If something bad happens to you, surely you must have done something. But no, the story of Job removes that belief because it's wrong. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. There are rich, evil people. There are poor, good people. There are poor, evil people. There are rich, good people. I'm going to stop before I start losing my thing. This is why the Apostle James made Job as an example for our heavily persecuted brothers and sisters in the past. Because the church, the early church, they were persecuted. When you were found out to be a Christian then and you had a business, you will not be helped or patronized by the people, by the community. They will do everything so that your business will shut down. If you were a Christian and you needed a job and they found out you're a Christian, they will not hire you. If you are a Christian and they found out you were a Christian, they will capture you and they will bring you to the stadium and then open you up. And one of the things that they would do, open up the Christians just for kicks. Or they will feed you to the lions that were there. Or they will make you kill each other. They will burn you when Nero is there. They will burn Christians. Looking around the room, I don't know if there is a non-believer here, but don't think, oh, good thing I'm not a Christian. Or you're already being toyed with. Because the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is what? In this life, we die. And when we die, what's guaranteed for a Christian? You go to heaven. Here's things that we've learned about Job. About Job and his enduring perseverance. Persevering patience in adversity, we will develop and we must have the trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean out on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will keep your path straight. When you are going through trouble, it's so hard, it's so difficult to say God is in control. If we're all going to be honest. Right? You're following God. You're doing everything to the T. You're dotting all the I's. You're crossing all the T's. You're doing everything that God is telling you. And then trouble comes. And then your trust in Him gets rattled. But we have to see the verse. Fill your mind with this verse. You have to trust Him despite the trouble. Despite the uncertainty, you say, I trust you, Lord. Don't try to make sense of it with your own common sense. It will fail. It will fail. One thing that we also have to realize is that God is sovereign. There are no accidents for His people. And everything that happens, God allows. And if God allows, what does Romans 8:28 says? In all things, and we know the Christians, and we know that in all things, all the trouble that you are in, all things, God works. God is working for the good of those who love Him. Now, don't give this verse to your non-believing friends. This is not for them. Give this verse to you. If you love God, this is His promise to you. That even though the world seems to be upside down and it's not working in your favor, your car's broken down again, you lost your job, you lost hours, your relationship seems to be not working, or you can't find the guy or the girl that really loves God, God's working for those who love Him, who have been called according to, this is the last part, His purpose. See, this is the one thing that us Christians need to give up. Our purpose versus His purpose. The moment you give up your purpose, the easier... with the difficulty, the easier it will be because you're no longer struggling. The fact of the matter is that we don't want to give God the full reign in our lives. We don't want His purpose in certain things. No, Lord, my finances are my finances. My money is my money. Your money is my money. My money is my money. Right? We don't want to give it up. You are God to my wife because my wife needs to submit to me. But me, on the other hand, I will not love my wife as you have loved the church. I will just be a dictator. I will be harsh. I will not be loving, but my wife needs to submit to me. No, it's everything for His purpose. If there is something that we're not giving up for Him, that's the one thing that God is putting the trouble in. Sending out trouble. That is the message. That is the message right there. Okay, we're going to close, okay? Pray for me that we close. There's a brief summary. Paul summarized it for us. I know we're studying about James, but we always do this, right? The best reference for the Bible is the Bible itself. And to make it more powerful, there's other verses there that always coincides with other verses that God has given us. So praise God. Patience in the midst of adversity tells us that we can continue to trust God, and God is sovereign. The enemy can only touch us as much as God allows. The trouble that comes our way are ordained by God, and our God is good. We continue to trust him. Amen? Romans 8:31-39. I'll read it, then we'll close in prayer. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously gives us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. God's praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, nothing basically, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? The most important thing for the Christian, whether you're Pentecostal or Baptist, is the love of Christ. The love of Christ. All these other things are just icing on the top. You know, if you have been blessed with a wife, or a husband, praise God. God gave you that partner to help you live this life in a more meaningful way. If God has blessed you with health, praise God. God blessed you to be healthy so you can serve him mightily in whatever calling he has chosen for you. God blessed you with a career, praise God, so that you can be the salt and light of that work that you are in and also be part of his work when it comes to your finances. If you are young, praise God you're young. Because you don't have to color your hair yet. Or you have your hair still. You're young because you're full of strength, full of vision, and you are the next church that will tackle this world. God is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. That should mean so much to everyone. Job, as much as he is real and his account is real, and as much as horrific his experience were, Job was blessed double of whatever he has lost. At the end of the book of Job, God revealed that to him. But the biggest blessing for Job is not the return of many more children. And I think that's where the wife was punished because he had more children, right? But this was before anesthesias, right? Anyway, they were given children and more money, business, but that was not what Job said. Job did not say, praise God, despite the trials that I've been through, I'm now again rich and I'm a dad again. No, you know what he said? I only heard of you talking to God, talking about God, but now I have seen you. The closeness of God. But as much as that was painful and that was real and that was such a blessing, there was another Job in the New Testament that faced horrific events that he did not deserve. Job was not perfect, but Jesus was perfect. Jesus is the perfect Job. And Jesus, like Job, suffered, but in a more excruciating way. Not for his sins, but our sins. So that we can be in fellowship with him. So I don't know what you've been praying for and asking God for, but as Pastor Julius always reminded me before, when I would tell him all my concerns and my needs, he would tell me, Joe, you have the most important thing in the world right now. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. Everything else about the world is just that. Everything else. Look at John 10:10. This is Jesus speaking. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And look at God's purpose. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Look at the story of Job carefully again when you go home. God blessed Job tremendously. Satan wanted it away, wanted it gone. What did God do? Fine, take it, because I can give it to him again if I will it. Is God the most important thing to you? Somebody answer me. Is God the most important thing to you? Okay, great. Praise God. At least I know I'm preaching to a Christian church. Then persevere. I don't know what you're going through, but persevere, endure, stand. Because God remains good. Amen? Let's close in prayer. As the music team make their way up here, if you still have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not done that, you are still very much condemned with your sins. The only way that you can be in fellowship with God and be in heaven when this life passes you is if you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You are not going to be saved by your works. You will be saved by God's work, which is done on the cross. And this is given to you by grace. You did not deserve it, but it's through grace, through Christ alone, with his blood shed for you. If you want to do that this afternoon, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. If you've been a Christian, but you've just been lukewarm, the Bible tells us and warns us that God will spit you out. Not that you will lose your salvation, which they want to teach you, but it's just you're going to be no use for him. And you want to be used for him. You want to live for him. If you want to recommit your life, please come up so we can pray for you. If there's a prayer that you need, while they're singing, come up so we can pray for you. Amen? Let's all rise as I close us in prayer. Father, I thank you for, we thank you. We thank you for your message, Lord God, through the life of Job. We thank you for the Apostle James pointing us to him. We pray now, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to help us retain your message for us. May it be marked forever in our hearts and in our minds that we are to trust you and persevere in our adversities, Lord God, because we can count on you, because you are good. Help my brothers and sisters who are in trouble, Lord God. Rescue them. I pray for broken relationships, Lord God. Please, Lord God, restore them. I pray, Father God, for those who are sick. Please heal them. I pray for those who are discouraged, Lord, please encourage them. I pray for help for those who have a sin that they have not been giving up, Lord God. I pray that you will just quicken them, that they will be willing to surrender their sins over to you and to finally live for you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. We love you, Lord. And all the Lord's people said, amen.